بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تحمل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم الشدائد والعذاء في الدعوة إلى الله. تحمل أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه الشدائد. This is the chapter regarding Sahaba رضي الله عنهم and how they underwent difficulty and sacrifice and hardships for the sake of deen, for the sake of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first incident of how Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an had tolerated hardship and sacrifice for the sake of deen. Ilhah Abi Bakr radiallahu an alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bizzuhur wa khutbatuhu hina idhin wa ma laqiya min al-adha. This is the chapter explaining how Abu Bakr radiallahu an in the beginning of Islam was so eager and had that worry and concern that how can this deen spread, even though it's the beginning stages of Islam, only 38 Sahaba radiallahu anhum are present, only 38 Muslims that are present, and how can this deen spread, and how can every person come to know regarding deen. And through this incident, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the first person to give a khutbah and to officially and openly invite people to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So thereafter, every khutbah that took place and that's taking place thereafter, the reward is going to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. أخرج الحافظ أبو الحسن الأطرابلسي عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لما اجتمع أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانوا 38 رجلا ألح أبو بكر رضي الله عنه على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الظهور فقال يا أبا بكر إنا قليل فلم يزل أبو بكر يلح حتى ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتفرق المسلمون في نواحي المسجد كل رجل في عشيرته وقام أبو بكر في الناس خطيبا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس فكان أول خطيب دعا إلى الله وإلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So in this narration, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that when the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam were gathered together, they were all sitting together, and at that time it was 38 of them in total. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu insisted upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he wants to openly give da'wah to Islam. So it's only 38 that have accepted Islam, and everyone else around them in Makkah Mukarramah are from the kuffar, from the mushrikeen, that have complete hatred regarding Islam and regarding this new deen that they are saying that what is this new deen that people have come with. So definitely that fear was there, that we are only 38 in number. If I have to openly announce and give i'lan and tell people about Islam, definitely all these mushrikeen, all these kuffar will attack me. That chance, there's a very great chance of this. But despite this, knowing that I'm going to be going through hardship and difficulty for deen, despite this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this worry and concern, and he insisted upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he wants to openly declare Islam and openly invite to Islam. Until eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted, and these different tribes of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, different people from the Sahaba who accepted Islam, they started to sit in the different groups with their tribe people, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up to give the khutbah whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, and he was the first person to give a khutbah inviting to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he started this khutbah, صار المشركون على أبي بكر وعلى المسلمين فضربوا في نواحي المسجد ضربا شديدا ووطئ أبو بكر وضرب ضربا شديدا ودنا منه الفاسق عتبة بن ربيعة فجعل يضربه بنعلين مخصوفتين ويحرفهما لوجهه ونزا على بطن أبي بكر حتى ما يعرف وجهه من أنفه وجاء بنو تميم يتعادون فأجلت المشركين عن أبي بكر وحملت بنو تيم أبا بكر في ثوب حتى أدخلوه منزله ولا يشكون في موته ثم رجعت بنو تيم فدخلوا المسجد وقالوا والله لئن مات أبو بكر لنقتلن عتبة بن ربيعة فرجعوا إلى أبي بكر فجعل أبو قحافة وبنو تيم يكلمون أبا بكر حتى أجاب فتكلم آخر النهار. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started this khutbah and started inviting to Islam, immediately the mushrikeen began to attack him, and from every corner they were hitting him and kicking him and pushing him away, until the fasiq Utbah bin Rabi'ah came with two shoes that were very thick shoes with hard soles, and he started hitting him on his face, kicking him on his face with these shoes. And then he started trampling him on the ground, stepping upon his chest, stepping upon his face. And he was injured to such an extent that you could not recognize his nose from his face. That's how much of injury was caused to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Until eventually the people of his tribe, Banu Taym, they came and interceded and they warded the mushrikeen away. And they tied Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in a piece of cloth and took him away. And because he was unconscious, so they had this doubt that what if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has passed away. So they began to say that if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has passed away, then we are going to kill Utbah bin Rabi'ah. And then the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Quhafa, and the people of his tribe continuously tried to speak to him and get an answer from him. Eventually towards the end of the day he started to speak. He replied to them. But the first thing he mentioned after gaining consciousness, مَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. What has happened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a good condition? فَمَسُّوا مِنْهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَعَذَلُوهُ ثُمَّ قَامُوا وَقَالُوا لِأُمِّهِ أُمِّ الْخَيْرِ أُنْذِرِي أَنْ تُطْعِمِيهِ شَيْئًا أَوْ تَسْقِيهِ إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا خَلَتْ بِهِ أَلَحَّتْ عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلَ يَقُولُ مَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَتْ وَاللَّهِ مَا لِي عِلْمٌ بِصَاحِبِكَ فَقَالَ اذْهَبِي إِلَى أُمِّ جَمِيلٍ بِنْتِ الْخَطَّابِ فَاسْأَلِيهَا عَنْهُ فَخَرَجَتْ حَتَّى جَاءَتْ أُمَّ جَمِيلٍ فَقَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ يَسْأَلُكِ عَنْ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ فقالت ما أعرف أبا بكر ولا محمد بن عبد الله وإن كنت تحبين أن أذهب معك إلى ابنك قالت نعم. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first thing he's asking is regarding the health situation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his own people started to mock at him and they felt insulted at this, that his only concern is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they stood up and they went away, but they told his mother Ummul Khair that she should take care of him, give him something to eat, give him something to drink. So as soon as they left, and again he was now alone with his mother, again he's asking that what is the condition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she replied that I don't have any knowledge regarding this. So he said, go to Ummu Jamil bint Khattab and ask her regarding him. So she went to Ummu Jamil and Ummu Jamil replied that I also don't know anything regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't know Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and I don't know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you want, I can go with you to check on your son. So the mother agreed. And when Ummu Jamil went and saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in this condition, then she started to scream and say that definitely people who have done this, they are fusaq, they are kuffar. وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَن يَنْتَقِمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مِنْهُمْ. It is my hope that Allah will take revenge on your behalf from these people. So again he asked the question, what is the condition regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So then she mentioned that your mother is here in this gathering with us. What if, for example, she has to give out this information to anyone? So he said, you don't need to fear anything. If my mother is here, it's no problem. But I want this information. So she said, Salimun Salih, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a good condition. Fi Daril Arqam, right now he is in Darul Arqam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, upon hearing this, he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أَذُوقَ طَعَامًا وَلَا أَشْرَبُ شَرَابًا أَوْ آتِيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I take a qasam, I will not eat or drink anything until I am taken to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So they waited until the dead of night when there's no movement of people. And like this, in this weak condition, he was leaning upon them. And like this, they took him to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. When Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم saw him, immediately he embraced him and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum embraced him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a lot of pity looking at his condition. And then Abu Bakr said, Bi abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah, laysa bi ba'sun illa ma nala al-fasiq min wajhi. Wa hadhihi ummi barratun bi waladiha. Wa anta mubarakun. Fad'uha ila Allah, wad'u Allah laha. Asa Allah ay yastanqidhaha bika min an-nar. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that may my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Rasulullah. I don't have any difficulty, there's nothing wrong with me except what this fasiq has done to my face. But in this condition as well, in a condition where he was unconscious the entire day and with so much of wounds on his body, and now he has finally found the Nabi of Allah, again the worry and concern now for the hidayat of each and every person, how one person can come onto hidayat. So immediately he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is my mother, and she is very good to her children, she is a very good lady, and you are a blessed and a mubarak person. فَدْعُهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَدْعُ اللَّهَ لَهَا. So I'm asking you, O Nabi of Allah, to invite her to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide her. Make dua that Allah guides her. So this is the entire effort encapsulated in this dawat and dua all the time. This has to be our sifat and our quality of dawat and dua for each and every person. How each and every person, we can give them dawat, we can invite them to deen, we can speak to them about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we can make dua for each and every person. Asallahu an yastanqidhaha bika minan nar. It is possible that Allah will use you, O Nabi of Allah, as a means to save her from the fire. فَدَعَا لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَدَعَاهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَأَسْلَمَتْ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her, and then he gave her da'wat to Islam, gave her da'wat to the greatness of Allah, to the oneness of Allah, and she accepted Islam. So she became number 39. وَأَقَامُوا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الدَّارِ شَهْرًا وَهُمْ 39 رَجُلًا. وَقَدْ كَانَ حَمْزَةُ بْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُتَّلِبِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَسْلَمَ يَوْمَ ضُرِبَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So these 39 Sahaba رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, they spent 1 month in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learning deen from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on this day when Abu Bakr رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ was injured and these mushrikeen had attacked him, on this same day Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib accepted Islam. So this is what our elders are mentioning, that sometimes we can't see it, we don't realize that we are going through sacrifice for deen, we are striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going through different types of difficulty and sacrifice, but some person somewhere in the world, some country, some group of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them hidayat. Sometimes Allah will show it, sometimes Allah doesn't show it, but definitely when a person sacrifices and makes effort for deen, definitely hidayat and khair will spread. So imagine that on this day of sacrifice and injury of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, on the same day, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib accepted Islam. And the next incident regarding the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Umar radiallahu anh, and how he accepted Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, that Ya Allah, strengthen Islam through Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh or Abu Jahl bin Hisham. And the next day, this dua was made on a Wednesday, and the next day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Umar radiallahu anh hidayat. So like this, we see for each and every person, this was the worry, this was the concern, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that Umar radiallahu anh and Abu Jahl, these are very influential people. And if these people have to come into Islam, how much of help it will give to deen. And this was his dua, this was his effort, this was his cry, that Ya Allah, bring one of them into deen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Umar radiallahu anh hidayat. وَكَانَتِ الدَّعْوَى يَوْمَ الْأَرْبِعَىٰ فَأَسْلَمَ عُمَرْ يَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ فكبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم واهل البيت تكبيره سمعت باعلى مكه. So when Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people that were with him in the household, all of them recited takbir, all of them recited Allahu Akbar. And then immediately, as Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, immediately this was his concern. What did he say? Ya رسول الله, علام نخفي ديننا ونحن على الحق ويظهر دينهم وهم على الباطل. قال يا عمر إنا قليل قد رأيت ما لقينا. فقال عمر فوالذي بعثك بالحق لا يبقى مجلس جلست فيه بالكفر إلا أظهرت فيه الإيمان. ثم خرج فطاف بالبيت ثم مر بقريش وهي تنتظره. فقال أبو جهل بن هشام يزعم فلان أنك صبوت. فقال عمر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فوثب المشركون إليه ووثب على عتبة فبرك عليه وجعل يضربه وأدخل إصبعه في عينيه. فجعل عتبة يصيح فتنحى الناس. فقام عمر فجعل لا يدنو منه أحد إلا أخذ بشريف ممن دنا منه حتى أعجز الناس. So عمر رضي الله عنه, he told Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم that isn't it, hasn't the time come as yet that we can openly go out and proclaim our Islam and invite people to Islam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we are still very few in number, and you have seen already that those who have tried to do this, what has happened to them. But Umar radiallahu anhu, with that jazbah and determination, knowing that if he has to do this, there is a fear, people will attack him. The same fear Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had. But still, when Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I take a qasam in that being that has sent you with the truth, There will not be a single majlis and a single gathering that I had sat in a state of kufr, except that I am going back to those same gatherings and I am going back to those same majalis and I am going to expose my iman and going to expose my Islam. Immediately Umar radiallahu anhu went and he started tawaf of the Kaaba. And as he's making tawaf, then the tribe of Quraysh came to him and Abu Jahl mentioned to him that people are talking and people are saying that you have left your deen, you have left your religion. So he replied and he proclaimed, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." So in this situation as well, in this incident as well, immediately the kuffar pounced upon him and started to attack him. So immediately Umar radiallahu anhu, he attacked Utbah, who was their leader. He attacked him and he knelt down in a squatting position and held Utbah, so to say, in a strangling position. And he started poking his finger into the eye of Utbah, which was causing him a lot of pain. And Utbah started to scream in pain. So when everyone saw that this is happening to their leader, then they started to move away. And like this, in the same condition, in the same manner, Umar radiallahu anhu started going to each and every majlis from the tribes of the mushrikeen, the tribes of the kuffar. And immediately he goes and captures their leader. And he takes capture of their leader and threatens them that if they are going to do anything to them, he is going to attack the leader. And like this, he went majlis to majlis until he exposed and made i'lan of Islam in every majlis. ثم انصرف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو ظاهر عليهم قال ما عليك بأبي وأمي والله ما بقي مجلس كنت أجلس فيه بالكفر إلا أظهرت فيه الإيمان غير هائب ولا خائف. فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وخرج عمر أمامه وحمزة بن عبد المطلب حتى طاف بالبيت وصلى الظهر مؤمنا ثم انصرف إلى دار الأرقم ومعه عمر رضي الله عنه ثم انصرف عمر وحده ثم انصرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والصحيح أن عمر إنما أسلم بعد خروج المهاجرين إلى أرض الحبشة وذلك في السنة السادسة من البعثة. So عمر رضي الله عنه, after going to each and every one of these gatherings of the kuffar and willing to sacrifice his life and knowing that these kuffar can attack him, he went into each and every one of their majalis, he proclaimed Islam, he gave dawah to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "May my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Rasulullah. Now there is no fear at all remaining. Now you can go freely and you can go into and make tawaf and you can perform salah. I have given i'lan and I have given dawah to Islam without any fear in all these different gatherings of the kuffar." So after mentioning this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Umar radiallahu anhu and Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, they went and very freely without any fear they made tawaf of the Kaaba and they performed their Zuhr salah without having fear of the kuffar at all because of what Umar radiallahu anhu had done. And thereafter they went into the house of Arqam radiallahu anhu. And it's also mentioned that this incident of Umar radiallahu anhu accepting Islam, it took place after Sahaba radiallahu anhum had left for Habasha. After Sahaba radiallahu anhum made hijrat to Habasha, after leaving Makkah Mukarramah and sacrificing and making hijrat and sacrificing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was approximately after the sixth year after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given nubuwat, after Sahaba went to Habasha, this incident took place in Makkah Mukarramah where Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. So such a great event in Islam, the second Khalifa of Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu, where probably these Sahaba radiallahu anhum that had left Makkah maybe would have never thought that this day will come. They could have never imagined that this day will come in Makkah Mukarramah where a person like Umar radiallahu anhu will come into Islam and will do such great service to Islam. But Sahaba had to leave Makkah, they had to sacrifice, they had to go to a faraway land. And whilst they are away in this distant land, there in Makkah Mukarramah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spreading hidayat. So long as we continue whatever taqaza is there with regards to the local effort, with regards to whatever taqazas have been given to our elders, and we put ourselves forward and we sacrifice for this, most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spreading hidayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spreading khair in different parts of the world as well, in our own localities as well. On one occasion the elders were mentioning that if a person's effort in his local masjid is weak, then this person should come out on a foreign taqaza. A person should take out a jamaat to go on a foreign taqaza, and through the barakat of this, the effort in his local masjid will increase. So sometimes this doesn't make sense that we look at so many taqazas within the country, so many taqazas within my locality, within my masjid, and yet taqaza is there to go to other countries. But when we follow this, when we follow the tarteeb, when we sacrifice, when we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely khair will come about in our own locality, in our own country, and in different parts of the world. And the minimum that will happen, which is actually the maximum, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless the person striving in the path of Allah, the person sacrificing for deen, Allah will bless him with hidayat. This is the guaranteed promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, that those who sacrifice for the sake of deen, and those who make sacrifice only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will open up to them pathways of hidayat. And what is meant by pathways of hidayat? That in their different actions of the day and night, every action that they are carrying out, the actions of dunya, the actions of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them the correct way. Allah will show them what is the way that pleases Allah, what is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the way that will gain them salvation. So this is something that we should take to heart, whatever the taqaza is there being put forward at the moment. The tawajjuh and fikr of the elders regarding foreign taqazas now is to go to many of the English speaking countries, to go to America, to Canada, New Zealand, Australia, the European countries. So at times taqaza is for this, at times taqaza is for Africa, at times taqaza is for South America, for local, for pedal jamaats, whatever it is. But put ourselves forward all the time and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us, that I am in need of this effort. The more I sacrifice, the more I put myself forward, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take me forward. The more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase my iman. The more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me with hidayat. So whatever taqaza is being put forward at any given time, all of us to always be ready for this and to get others ready, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك, أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه, وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم أحي الدين كله في العالم كله إلى يوم القيامة, واجعلنا وأزواجنا وذريتنا سببا لذلك. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, الحمد لله رب العالمين.